Are you stuck at home in lockdown? Yeah, I know, we all are. Don't worry, we've got you covered, because it's time once again for Live at Night with Pete Ferrero, where whatever happens, happens. Now, along with his special guests, here is your host, Pete Ferrero.
Hey, everybody, we're Live at Night on Facebook Live, and I've got a few of my friends here that are actors, and we're doing an actors roundtable to talk about how the coronavirus or COVID-19 or the horrific thing that the president says is affecting the acting world and your gigs and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to start with Jillian because I feel like she's the most together of all of us.
That's a horrible way. What the fuck was that?
I'm just kidding. No. You had some shows coming up. You do a thing on Monday, right? I'm not making that up.
Yeah, that's true. That's not happening for a while, but yeah, it runs every Monday.
So tell me about how this affected your shows and how this has affected the virus, how it's affected your work and all the stuff that's been going on.
Yeah, I mean, because I have that show. I'm not on every week, but it runs every Monday. And then I had another comedy show scheduled for March. So all the comedy theaters closed down, you know, like the day before the big announcement.
Yeah.
What?
You're a comedian?
Yeah.
What the hell? How are you just finding this out?
Hilarious. Can you
I didn't get invited to any of your shows. That's why I'm
asking. Are you friends on Facebook? Because I will invite you.
Yeah.
When that happens.
So just naturally, now we got a couple of more people joining us here, but just naturally, you're just naturally funny. So I thought you were, of course, I've always known you to be a comedian because you're very,
me?
Yeah, Jillian, yes, yeah, you, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a stand-up, but I do a lot of improv, and I do musical improv, and like comedy, like film and stuff.
Okay, we got Vin is here. Okay, he joined the room. That's what the laughter was, I guess.
Oh.
I'm hearing somebody's got us turned up. I feel like one of those old FM radio shows or AM radio shows. Somebody is turned up.
First time, long time, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna plug in.
What does that mean? I'm gonna plug in. What does that mean?
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, computer?
Oh, there you go. Nick can't get any volume. I don't know why.
You gotta press join with the audio.
Oh, you have to press. Us. Yeah, that's it. Oh, maybe not. Let me message him that. Yeah, hold on. Make sure you press join with audio. We're really off the rails already.
Oh my goodness.
You know. Okay, so that's how it's affecting your comedy schedule and your shows. You said that it just kind of everything got shut down and canceled. That must have sucked.
Yeah, it did. Like we were in our one show Monday was in a festival. That Thursday night before everything shut down, that was canceled. And then I have a duo improv. And we had we don't do shows like all the time, so we had like a big show planned and that got canceled. Yeah, so it's a bummer. I mean, what can we do though?
Yeah, and Nick has now joined us, Nick Ferrara.
Nick, hey guys,
what's up, Nicky?
Hey, Nick.
So technically,
hello.
It took me forever to get on.
Let's get there. You're worth the wait.
What's up, everybody?
Not much. It's good to see you, man. How have you been? How is this coronavirus affecting you, bro? I know we did another thing a while back. We didn't air it on Facebook, but how is this affecting you?
Like everybody, man, you know, I'm going stir crazy. Like I said, I reread my script about another 50 times, rewrote it.
Right.
Time, shit like that. But I've been collaborating with a production company on it. And, we're actually going to put together a sizzle when this is all done to promote it to get investors. So
that's a good idea, man. Yeah.
That's probably the best part about this deal is everybody is kind of reaching out to everybody else because now they have time to sit down and kind of hash some shit out.
Like if this was a typical, what is it, Friday, the seven of us would not be talking. If this was we would all be in our own worlds doing our own thing, whatever that is, and we would not be chit-chatting with each other. So I feel like we're trying to become more social by having social distance, which is bizarre. Vin has some kids. Vin, you have some kids, so how is this affecting you and whatnot? And by the way, Chris and Vin both wrestle too, so in terms of the wrestling thing, did shows get canceled as well?
Yeah, we had a show tomorrow. Our biggest show of the year got canceled. Pretzelmania 4.
Wait, what is it? Can you call it Pretzelmania?
Yeah, Pretzelmania, baby. That's Pretzelmania 4.
And why do they call it Pretzelmania, Vin?
It was a spoof off of me and a guy who runs it. When I was running it, we really like Office, and no day is better than Pretzel Day. So we wanted to have an event as an inside joke for all us.
Yeah.
It was Pretzelmania because it was right around WrestleMania.
People love it. Let me ask you a question, but do you think that's a stupid question? What I just asked you? That wasn't a stupid question. That was a very educated, well thought out question.
Yeah. It's a dumb name, really, but that's the point of it.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you. Because somebody once told me it was a stupid question. Anyway, so talk to me about what's it like being trapped in the house with kids?
Well, I have two kids. I have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old. I have two kids, and I have like a toddler who's like a 3-year-old, and then a baby who's a 1-year-old.
How many children do you have?
I have four kids, but like really there's two kids that I have to school. I'm the gym teacher and the principal. My wife's everything else. I'm making them do laps. It's great. Push-ups, sit-ups, jumping jack. Yeah. I'm mean as hell. I give them detention. They're in detention right now.
Because you had
mentioned the kitchen cabinet. Shut up in there. I'm on the phone.
Vin, you're a principal?
Yeah, I'm the principal. Right.
Dude, when someone comes in your office because they're bad, do you put them in like some wrestling hold or something? And how do you handle that?
Yes, I beat them. With that, I beat them. I'm just... Shut up in there. I got him locked in a cabinet.
Now, how about you, Amy? I mean, Amy does quite a lot of commercial work and stuff like that. So, have you been able to do any shooting, or are you kind of doing nothing?
No, when this first started, I had to go to DC to shoot a national. And it was craziness. I made my, I kind of pulled a diva move. And I was like, I called my agent. I was like, if I'm just really, what are you doing? You're making noise.
It's Vin. Yeah, Vin made all that noise. Yeah.
I called my agent and I was like, look, if I have to do this, I'm worried about my health. And, if I have to take the train there, can they at least bump me up to business class so I'm around less people?
Sure.
And she was like, well, you could drive. They'll pay for your expenses. I was like, lady, I haven't driven a car in over 10 years. I'm not driving to DC.
Yeah.
So they put me and the two other people in the commercial on the in business class on the way there. And they put us on the Acela on the way home. But it was so crazy. No one was shaking hands when we were on set. But it was still, it was a little worrisome because, hair and makeup's right here.
Yeah.
It was fine. There was no one in our hotel that night except the two swans that they named George and Martha. But I mean, it went well. I shot the commercial. I came home. I was supposed to have another shoot the next day and that got canceled. And then I was supposed to have another shoot this week and that got canceled. So
mostly everything is getting canceled now.
Yeah. I just had to do a voiceover for home.
Well, Pete, let me ask you a question, Pete. Obviously, you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
How do you feel about today not happening?
And I'm sure I'll let Nick jump in on that too. But I mean, it sucks, man. You know what I mean? We were supposed to go to a Mets Phillies game soon, right? I don't know. That's probably going to get pushed.
Yeah. It was in May.
I mean, I don't know. It's not happening.
So now, does that push everything else back? Is football going to start later too?
Nah.
They haven't announced yet what the baseball's doing, right? I'm sure it's just going to be a shortened season, I would imagine.
Well, here's the thing. I saw Mike. Did you see Mike Trout talk yesterday?
I saw it, but I didn't watch it. Sorry, I saw it pop up.
Yeah, he said that once they finally get the go-ahead, it's going to take minimum 4 weeks for training, because he said the pitchers are going to need at least 4 weeks, maybe six.
That's silly. They should just go for it. You know what I mean? Like, there's way too many games as it is. I'm sorry. They don't need a. There's what was 164 games. There's way too many. Games.
There's just really not enough games in a season, I feel. So
I love that Jillian just looks bored.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
is this a sports round table or an acting round table?
Well, thank you. I mean, thank
exactly.
You.
What are we talking about here?
I was trying to shift it. I was waiting for them to finish, and then I was going to shift it. But let's go to Alex. Okay, how has it been affecting you in your world, in the acting world, and whatnot? You just got some business cards printed, and now you can't use them for anything.
I printed those business cards, so I'm gonna have to give them out eventually, I guess. What I'm doing is I'm trying to make my own work at home. Uh-huh. So I'm doing a lot of dance videos and posting them on Facebook just to cheer people up.
I might have to get Facebook just for that.
I know. They're so cute.
And I'm writing a little bit, some stuff I'm going to shoot on my own in my house and have a friend edit it. The same friend who made the video with me and Amy with no audio.
Right, he's really good.
That was such a good scene. Nothing ever happened of it.
It was so
no audio.
Yeah, we did some good work there. But next time, I guess.
And Chris, I mean, we talked a little bit last night. You know, I feel like you and Jillian, I just saw recently, but that's probably 2 months ago at this point. Was it February that happened? But because we shot some stuff together. But anyway, how about you in terms of you make this move? We talked about that earlier. You go to Orlando. You're gonna do some. You got some acting gigs lined up. And now is everything canceled for you, or what's up?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking, Pete. Everything so far has been postponed or delayed in one aspect or another. Therefore, when the opportunity does represent itself, God willing and God bless, hopefully it's still there for me and for whomever else has the idea.
Here.
I don't know. He went off.
He
took
the rogue. He took that class that all football players take after they lost the game. They're like, "What do you feel?" Well, you know, opportunities right. Fell through.
Yeah.
We played good. You know, we tried really. We were good, and it's gonna go good.
That was a great opportunity. How about that one's on me, guys? That one's on me when they fucking blow it. Yeah. Cool. We still lost the game. How about in terms of, I know, Nick, you said that you've been writing your script 100 times and all this stuff, you know, kind of doing some creative. Are you doing anything? Let's talk about that. Is anybody else writing things or like honing in on something that they had previously written or spending more time with it? I know I'm definitely doing that. Jillian's nodding. What are you doing?
Well, there is one script I wrote that I was in the middle of planning to shoot before this happened, but I think I told you I'm turning my musical I wrote into a series.
Which is a brilliant. I can't wait to see what you come up with that. I think it's awesome.
Thank you. I'm really excited about that, but I wanted to get this other film done, but that's sort of on hold, so now I can focus on, I have the first six or seven episodes written of season one, so I have to finish that, and then I started thinking, because season one is basically the musical just broken up, because there's seven songs. So then I had an idea for season two, so I'm I have time to do that now.
Yeah, totally.
So that's good. I mean, I am working a little. I tutor, so I am working every day mostly, but I still have time to.
When you said you're tutoring, are you doing it all virtually now, or are you still going to the place? All virtually.
Yeah, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm doing it online. Not the same amount I normally would, but it's something because I have nothing else going on. So
is anybody else writing anything? Or Vin, I know you sent me some sketches and some ideas and stuff like that. What's that? How's that for you?
Yeah, I'm actually today. Actually, I took like 2 hours and I just honed in after recess, and I just sat down and I wrote. I just threw everything else I had about this one. That one pilot, I think I told you about, where that one night about those the brothers, and they just lost their father. But it was a totally different scenario than yours. And I just scrapped everything I had and just went really different with it, and I'm really liking it. I was laughing, so.
Good.
If I'm laughing, hopefully other people will laugh.
Definitely.
Actually, I'm going to send that to you, Pete, if you don't mind. I love to something. I work better off of people.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else does that like that. If anybody wants to send me something, I could send them something. I work better off of people, like in a group.
Sure.
Just throwing that out there.
Definitely. I'm always open to reading. I know Nick sent me some stuff. I've sent him some stuff. Chris, we all send each other stuff, right? Yeah, the project that we all worked on together, actually, the Boys Club, or it's now called The Boys Will Be, I sent to Jillian first. And she was one of the first people to read it, and she sent me ideas and thoughts back. And
Abby.
I was the first.
She was.
I was like the last.
I'm giving Jillian a compliment here that we did that.
Yes, didn't you send it
to you, Alex?
I thought you sent it to me first.
Poor Abby.
No, I sent it to both Alex and Abby, or Jillian first, and I wanted to make sure that the characters were being treated correctly. Jesus.
He sent it to 8 people first.
But Jillian is amazing. And Jillian is
amazing in this project. Absolutely. She is. How did the coronavirus, now I'll tell you guys this, how did the coronavirus affect the Boys Club? Well, we got someone to score the movie, which is great. The movie's cut, it's ready to go. And awesome. We got someone to score it who is in Italy. So,
oh,
Jesus.
Oh no.
He's got that Wuhan breath all over it.
What?
So I don't even know what that, I actually don't know what that means.
Is he Wuhan okay? Breath,
but it's actually,
is he okay?
He is okay. He is okay. He's doing well, but he's not in his normal studio, so he's working on things out of a different location because he got moved. They're in total quarantine and all this.
Is he the guy that got about me playing the piano?
What now? What is this? What are you asking about the man's coronavirus symptoms? But no, he's fine.
He's the guy on the balcony, like playing the piano.
Oh, I got it. I got that.
Oh, that was sweet. That was really sweet, though.
What's sweet is the actual person that did that is what you meant in Italy. That beautiful song that they all did together. Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Yes. Yes. I was saying that was sweet when.
Yeah, so that was that sort of screwed that up. But I mean, all of productions are sort of like on hold at this point. I was surprised to hear that you shot something, Amy. But I guess some stuff, you know, maybe that was a little bit early on in this situation. Was that early on?
When the hell did I do that?
I had a shoot the day, it was like the morning of that Friday that they like shut everything down. I kept checking like for emails or texts that it was canceled, but it wasn't. It was in New Jersey, but it's still like no one was touching each other. People like elbowing instead of shaking hands.
I went the 14th and 15th of this month. So like a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's the early part of. I feel like that's the early part of this.
It was before like everything was shut down. I came back, and then the bar that I work at was like, "Yeah, we're closing down." I was like, "Okay."
Oh yeah, so that's affected you as well, your personal jobs as well, because all of you guys have, you know, other jobs outside of the acting world. Have all of those things been shut down as well, Amy?
Yes. Or nope. I am shipping dog food though.
Yeah, right. Amy taking a chance to plug her dog food company, which is awesome. Vin, you said yes or no?
No, no. I work in construction, and we are essential personnel, so.
Oof. Oh, so you're working?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's good. Good for you, man, right?
Good, yeah. Let me ask you guys a question.
It doesn't sound like it's good. Wait, you're not going to take over the show. Nick.
It's a simple question. It was just a real quick.
Nick, what about you? Is your real job affected by this?
Yeah, big time. So I'm a Medicare consultant. That's how I make money. And, you know, I'm out there maybe 5, 6, 7 appointments a week, man. Now I'm like basically one a week. Cause I go to their homes, you know, and sit down with people that are 5 and offer them a Medicare health plan. And the one appointment I had this week, she almost didn't want to see me. We had to sit outside. She was sitting at one end of her picnic table in her backyard. I was sitting at the other end. I mean, it's just crazy.
It is crazy. But I'll be honest with you. I'm doing a little bit of the same if I have to go somewhere. I'm not standing.
I had a notary come to my house, and she pulled up, and there was a table outside, and like I had my own pen, and like I had to put like a big paperweight. She's like, "Can I see your license?" And I just put it down, and I walked away. I don't want to get none of I don't know what it is. I'm scared, honestly, the long term effects. Nobody really knows what it is, and what it actually does to kids. They say it doesn't really bother them. But hey, you know, 2 months ago it wasn't contagious either.
And hey, we're live doing an actor's roundtable. I don't know that we're talking about acting yet, but we will get into some of it. If you guys have a question that are following us on Facebook Live, hey guys, we got like 6 people watching right now, so that's exciting.
Ooh, sweet.
I mean, I don't know.
People that are just in the room here.
Was that
the 6 people that are here?
Yeah.
No. Allison says hello. Hi, Allison. Dominic said, I sent it to him first that we're just talking about the boys club, and he told me to cut 4 pages, and I did. That is true. But I remember when I would send it to Jillian, I'd be like, I'm trying to get this shrunk down, and then I never would. So I don't know that ever. It wound up being way longer than what it is. So it will be released soon. I'm hoping to release it on Amazon. That's my goal, but we have to wait until the score is done for sure.
Awesome.
Pete, my brother-in-law, man, he can still do it. I told you.
Very true. Very true. Well, the kid's good. He's working on it now. He's got maybe 5, 6, or 7 songs that he's got the last segment to do, and that's where that's kind of where we are. But being in Italy, it screwed everything up.
Right.
But anyway, so let's talk about some acting stuff. And we'll just kind of go around to the table here. Let's go back to Jillian because I feel like I can trust her.
Again, what the fuck?
I'm just fucking with you guys.
Wow.
She's my safety zone.
No, I get it.
You know what I mean, right? Because you don't know where Alex is going to say. He's going to get offended about something quickly. You're going to try to take over the show. Chris is going to disappear. And Amy, you know, who knows what's going to come out of you. My two safeties are Nick and Jillian.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Great. Shoot. Let's
I'll take.
I actually forgot the question. maybe I'm not the one suited for this. Anyway, listen. What?
Can I ask?
You did have a question. Go ahead. Yeah.
So next time I see another actor, what do you think is going to be the new way of greeting people? Do you think we're going to go back to the handshakes, or do you think we're going to do elbows, maybe foreheads,
foot shake?
ET. What do you think?
I think cool with photo check. Just waving.
No. No one's a foot shaker.
A foot shake?
Like kitten play. Like a kitten play.
Hi, Alex.
That
works.
Even interacting, you know, in scenes. Look, at some point, all of this is going to be okay, right? You know,
Peter, how do Italians say hi to each other?
Kiss on the cheek.
Oh, that's not going to work anymore.
Yeah, this is why you're not in the safety zone for the for insulting entire groups of people. I do feel like a lot of that is going to be interesting and different. But like, when do you guys think? Do you guys have anything that you were scheduled to do that you were? I mean, I know you talked about your show, Jillian, but was there anything that you guys were scheduled to do that you were looking forward to doing, and now is sort of off the table, and you don't know if it's going to come back, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Julian. I think you were nodding.
Who, me? What?
I said, was there something that you were like, hey, this is going to happen. I'm working on this thing. We got this project, and now, like, it's not going to, like, and you don't even know if it's ever going to happen now because the window's been missed, or, you know, this virus, and who knows when everyone's getting back into action.
Right. I mean, for me, it's things that I can still do. So it's not like a festival that's you have to wait a year for. Thank goodness.
That's what I was kind of going with.
Festival last year, like, because a lot of them were getting canceled. But no, I mean, I feel like it's just pushed things back for me. I'm still stuck, but I feel like they're still going to happen.
How about you, Amy? I went to your square. Let's see.
Sorry, I have my dinner. No, like all my stuff is still just there. It's just been postponed. Mm-hmm. Like I still have the car commercial every month. We're just waiting until, you know, I don't infect people to shoot that again.
Well, you infect me in a good way whenever we work together. So.
Aw, bless your heart.
That's sweet. That's another sweet thing. That's two sweet things. That's two sweet things. Well, I got a kind of a silver lining if anybody's interested.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Hit us with a silver lining.
Well, the silver lining is everybody is doing the same thing and creative people will create, right? So there's going to be so many, I think, opportunities coming out of this thing. I think there's going to be just a wave of stuff happening for like another 3-6 months because entertainment never took 6 months off in the last 100 years.
Sure. I agree. I had some projects that were
great opportunities
that were, you know, at places and all this kind of stuff. And that all is on a freeze as well now. So that's the frustrating part, I think, for creatives that have been working on something for a long time previous and had some setbacks just in general. And then, of course, now this happens and it sets it back even a little bit further. I'm thinking of you too, Nick, with that. You know, you've had this whole project going with this project that you wrote, and you got the group together to start, you know, pushing it, and now it's going to be sort of held back even longer than what you expected, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, me personally, I just right before this whole thing happens, that I auditioned for an agent, and they're going to represent me, and we were just in the process. Getting things done, and I got new headshots, which, by the way, I just got it in the mail.
Let's take a look.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. We love it.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, look how handsome.
Chris, what do you think of
really well done. Hi, everybody.
Oh, so handsome.
So anyway, that was, you know, I'm like half freaking out in a way because we, you know, it went really well. She was all excited to work with me, and she's supposedly, they're the biggest in the Philly, Jersey area. Like, they booked my cousin on that show that's on AMC with, what the hell's his name, Jason?
Jason.
Ozer?
Ozer?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, the new season just came out.
Yeah.
This is a brand new show. It's the first season.
AMC. You guys are saying Ozark. That's on Netflix. He said AMC.
AMC.
Jason
Siegel.
Jason.
But anyway, she told me she was definitely going to book me for sure, and now everything's at a halt. So that's that was the biggest thing. Man. Yeah. That was
Vin, I don't know if you guys are all aware of what Three's Company is. Do you guys know what that is? An old television show from the 70s. I bet you Jillian doesn't know it.
Like millennials, we know this stuff.
Alex, have you ever heard of the show?
Oh yeah, he's
of course. No, I used to watch it all the time.
I heard a theory about that show.
You heard of what?
That what's his face was gay. His character was gay. And that's why he lived with the girls, and every time Mr. Roper came over, they had to hide it because he was gay.
What?
They told him he was gay because otherwise he couldn't.
That was the premise. Yeah, that was the premise.
Mind blown. Didn't know that when I was watching.
No. Like they
you were a kid, maybe. I mean, yeah, no, that was out there. I think that was pretty. That's not that's not a spoiler. Everybody who's watching, like, and.
Excuse me. You hearing me? I didn't know his character was gay when I watched it.
Probably because he's not. He lied.
No, from episode one to the last one, that was the show. What the fuck? It literally was brought up in every fucking episode of the show. You know, I mean, what the? You see now why she's not safe zone?
Don't you dare! Don't you dare! Just over there.
All right.
Wait, what's going on? Wait, Chris, what's up, bro?
Yeah, what the hell was that? Yeah.
I was just talking to my girlfriend. Go on. Down.
You actors.
Wow. You are going to be single after this.
Okay. Anyway, myself, Chris, and Vin all did a TV sitcom seminar with the guy that played Larry on Three's Company.
Oh, wow.
Who's Richard Klein. And we all had very, very, very fun experiences with that. I was going to ask you, Vin, what do you think Richard Klein, is he like, I'm fucked? Because, you know, he's...
he's not doing much.
You know, and I know he's your friend, and I love him. I think he's a wonderful human being. But he's not doing much. But he does have that class that we all attended, so he got us.
Actually,
oh, you do know.
I went with him. Oh, I contacted him, kind of like I think in January. I emailed him just to see, like, I wanted to workshop some stuff with him, just take a couple more courses, because you can just go there, like per diem, just go there and, you know, read some stuff for him, and he can fine tune it for you. Just, you know, keep you loose.
Chris
and he said he wouldn't do nothing until the summertime anyway. So I don't know where he is. And the worst part is, I think he was in Italy. Like, I think winters in Italy.
We don't want to lose Richard Klein in all this. You know what I mean? That would be sad. Poor Richard Klein.
You know somebody.
But it was a fun class. But Chris and I were not offered all that special extra activity. So you probably really impressed him.
He's just a really funny guy. I mean, I have the same type of sense of humor. And I think the stuff he did was funny when he wasn't trying to be funny. When when somebody's bad,
yeah,
boy, he wasn't like, you know how like when you're bad, somebody goes to be like, okay. And then they try to give you build you up and feed you a bunch of poor shit.
Constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they always start out the kind of the same way, like, they try to collect their thoughts. He was all more like, horseshit, what is this? What the fuck? Or like somebody's mumbling. He's like, I got $10,000, you know, implants on my ears. I can't hear a goddamn word you're saying.
That character. I mean, he's not the player, you know, not the whole ladies' man thing from the show, but he is very much. I mean, he might be. I just don't know that side of him, but he is very much that actor, like that, you know, all that kind of Three's Company stuff. We were in one class, and one of the classes towards the end, and he was taking attendance, which was so weird to watch Richard Klein take attendance. You know, like he would do it like old school teachers sort of. And there was this one guy, Dan, who was a stand-up comedian. And Dan had I'll be honest with you, and Dan might be watching this, sorry, but he had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Maybe he was a comedian at the Broadway Comedy Club where the classes were, and, you know, he didn't necessarily need this class because Richard Klein sometimes would show up late. That happened and whatnot. Dan was missing. And so Richard Klein was taking attendance, and he said, whatever Dan and whatever his last name was, and Dan didn't answer. He goes, and Richard Klein went, fuck him. Right? So we all bursted out in laughter. Cut to, like, there's no better Three's Company moment than 5 minutes later, Dan entered the room.
Yeah.
Richard Klein went, oh boy. You know, he didn't know that. I was like, motherfucker, this is a live Three's Company. Like, you're never going to, you know, see anything better than this. Yeah.
I just remembered a story from when I went to William Esper Studio. And when Vinny was talking about how they say that when you're bad, they give you some constructive criticism. I had one. I had one teacher who I was bad this time, like really bad, terrible. I did a terrible job, and she goes, "Stop, stop, stop." She's like, she knew that I had a fascination with Nicolas Cage, that I liked, like I like to watch Nicolas Cage movies for fun.
Change the topic.
But she just stopped, and she was just like, this fucking Nicolas Cage fucking shit acting. And I was crying.
All right, I'm sure you've all done some training or got directed somewhere along the way. Going off of Alex and Vin's story, has anybody said anything like that to you? Or adversely, has anybody said something that you really, has anything said something like that to you, or where you were like, oh shit, I guess that wasn't so good. We'll go to Amy.
Oh, I got a good one. Okay. I got a good one. So I was at William Esper too, and I had this teacher, and bless her heart, she really just wanted to, like, you know, break me down, to like break down my walls. And she was like, what do you want to be in sitcoms the rest of your life? And I all I kept thinking is, do you really think I could?
Someone is ringing. Okay, it's okay.
She literally was like, what do you want to do, sitcoms the rest of your life?
Wow.
Sure.
I literally was just like, oh my god, that would be great.
Sorry. Now this is a Three's Company moment right now. It happened twice. It's Jillian's
phone. Oh my god, so popular.
It's Jillian's phone, and every time Amy hits her punchline, Jillian's phone goes
I'm
off.
I'm going a little bit, okay?
He fucking intercepts me.
Fucking great, yeah.
What a fucking cock block. So anyway.
What did she say? Do you want to be in sitcoms? I'm sorry, now it's not as funny. Fuck.
Now it's not funny. She was
all
like,
right, Jillian, you're in the safe zone. You're no longer the safe zone.
Wow.
Yes.
Poor Abby.
He was like, oh my god, what do you want to, like, she was telling me I was bad, and she was like, oh, the best work you're gonna get is sitcoms. And all I kept thinking is, oh my god, Big Bang Theory, where those actors make $1 million an episode. I was like,
yeah,
sign me the fuck up.
Yeah, really.
Hell yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, oh my god, you think I'm so bad I could do sitcoms? That would be amazing. Like, yeah. That was like, in my head I'm going, oh my god, that would be my dream job. Like,
what do you want to do this for a living?
I don't want to do theater. Ugh. Like, no, sign me up for
Okay, we got it. Let's go to Nick on that. What's your answer on that? Has anybody said something where you were like, ah, fucking guy?
I think I was criticized all the time. No, I don't know. I wasn't, no one like freaked out on me. By the way, my wife had just entered. Wanted to say hi, Dorothy.
Dorothy, hey, what's up, girl?
This is my wife, Dorothy.
Hi, guys.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Dorothy.
What's happening?
Actually, Pete has us connected worldwide, and there's like 1.2 million people actually watching. Seriously.
Get out.
No, seriously.
Yeah, we're live.
Say hello to the world.
Yeah.
Say hello to the world.
Hello, world.
Oh, man.
We had two of our five grandchildren tonight. She just dropped them back off.
All right. So, very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
But to answer your question, Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Hello.
You know, it was always constructive criticism. I think looking back, I mean, none of the acting teachers I had ever like freaked out on me, like, what are you doing? You know,
right.
I mean, they were all just very, very helpful. Man, I had some really good teachers, mentors, you know, that really helped me. So sorry to be boring.
No, that's okay. How about you, Jillian?
I mean, yeah, I haven't had anything that really sticks out, I guess. The thing that came to mind was, I had a director, like, we didn't have rehearsal, like, I just, like, came on set, and he started shooting the scene, and he cut, and he was like, can you say it, like you're not just saying the lines? He's like,
oh, that's a harsh one.
Yeah, it was, not the best directing experience. He didn't tell me what he wanted, he just was like, oh, we're rolling.
Oh my god, I just had that.
Oh, that's tough. So, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, fun, you know, for me. Maybe other people are fine with that, but I just, you know, had no direction.
So. It's tough. That's always tough. Chris, what about you on that? I'm sure it's something that you like a dick.
Nothing really comes to mind right now, but if anything does, I'll get back to you.
Thank you. Well, we'll look forward to that.
That's the way I answer every email. I don't really know about that right now, but let me get back to you on that.
I think one time no one asked me, but I'll just jump in. I think one time I did a National Parks commercial and I played a hot dog vendor, and I was at a Met game. I was at a Met game the day before, and they sent me the details of the script. And it was like, you know, like a typical Italian fucking hot dog vendor in front of some national park. And so they sent me the script, and it was like fucking so many fucking pages. Like, it was just like, and there was not like any improv. You know what I mean? So, and I'm so bombed at the Met game. I was like, what the fuck? How the fuck is this going to happen? This is never going to happen. I'm never going to remember this. It's no way. Like, I'm looking at it and it's not like fucking normal shit. It's like, you have to go down. And, like, I'm saying it in this accent and I got to, you know, but it's specific shit in the parks. You know what I mean? It's not like fucking just like easy shit to remember or whatever. And that was challenging. But then they gave me another page like that. I was remember, like, and they were like, hey, there's one more page here. You know what I mean? On set. And now I'm like memorizing it while I'm there. It was very fucking challenging, but nobody gave me, the director was like, he kept on doing the apology thing, you know, like, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I know we're throwing it. I know it's a curveball.
You asked for more money.
But don't fucking do it. Like, but if you know it's fucked up.
Yeah.
More money.
And my agent sent one page, and then I showed up, and they were like, oh, so you have the 6 pages. And I was like, no, I have 1 page.
Right.
And it was 1 out of like 6 pages. And I asked my agent, I was like, did you, like, where is this other script? So I had to like learn it. I'd like memorize it in chunks, like on set. And they were really great about it. And like I don't know what happened, because my agent was like, I only got the 1 script I sent you. But, yeah, it was crazy. It was so, it was full.
It's intense, man. It's really intense. And I can't really, people say to me, like, how do you memorize lines and all that? And I just do it. You know what I mean? I don't really know what the process of that is, but that particular experience was super intense. You know, like when Nick and I worked in that film Backfire, that's on Netflix, that you can catch out tonight. If you're not doing anything and you'd like to catch out.
We got why this whole thing happened. No. 2.2 million people are on now. Someone talk about Backdraft or whatever it was.
What is it? Backfire. Yeah. So we can catch Backfire on Netflix tonight. If you're looking for something to watch, you can see me and Nick kill a little girl. You gotta watch it.
I watched it. You were great in it. You guys were great.
Thank you. We're getting very heavily criticized online, but I think it was phenomenal, so I don't give a shit.
You know, our off camera stories are better than the movie itself, I think.
I think Dave Patton and Black De Niro did a wonderful job. No.
No, they did. No, man, the movie was good. I mean, you know.
Well, I know what you mean. We had a lot of fun making it, is what you meant.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And then one night we were sitting in the car at 10 at night. Scared to get out of our car. Sorry, man.
Yeah, we were in a bad location, but my point was, when we did that movie, we had a lot of room to improv. They almost wanted us to just, you know, go with who the characters were and sort of develop those characters inside of their world and let us kind of play with it. And that's, I always find that works a little bit better, because then you have a little bit of freedom to sort of, you know, play with the words and play with the characters, you know? Whereas, like, that script of the hot dog vendor, you know, that was really hard. But, and also, they never aired that, and they couldn't get the footage. I was like, I just would love this hot dog vendor demo. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to put it in my reel, like a jerk off. And like everybody else that wants something for the reel, but like they wouldn't give it to me. Anyway, Vin.
Oh, wait for my footage from, you know.
I have no idea. Anyway, Vin, go ahead. What was your question?
Well, let me ask you a question, right? So you have Netflix, Amazon Prime, and all these streaming services constantly looking for new content. They're constantly looking for, so now everything's on hold, right?
Yeah.
Do you think this is better for, say, something like the Uncle Jerry Show, which possibly maybe they want to start taking up now since it's already done and they have everything going. So as soon as the Wuhan breath goes away.
Not specifically Uncle Jerry Show, because Uncle Jerry Show only has a pilot. And I got to get Clark on here at some point to air this in case he's watching. But I would say for... Her name is Chef. That's possible, I would say. Because the 6 episodes are already made, you know, and I think it could be on tomorrow, for sure. Chris, did you ever have an experience where you worked on a project and the script was really challenging or anything like that?
I don't think so, no.
Really? Really?
No, I've enjoyed every project I've been on. I've tried my best to jump into them. It takes me some time, sure. And whether it's jet lag or just trying to get into the character itself. But since I do a lot of traveling and whatnot, because I live in Florida now, and most of my work is in New York City or the tri-state area. So when I do get there, I have to get my mind right and my head right and everything else. Most importantly, my back right, because I have a lot of back pain.
He does. I do know that's true.
Wait, Alex. Where in Florida?
Orlando.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead. You have a question, but I wanted to ask Alex that question, but go ahead.
Have you seen the movie The Florida Project? It's on Amazon Prime.
The Florida Project. Okay. Well, he'll probably
set up a studio. Basically about nothing except like these people that live in Orlando and they're really friggin' poor and they live in a hotel and they're all hot messes.
Uh-huh. That's Chris. That's Chris. That's Chris right now.
That was in season one and two.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead. What was your question? What was, Chris, you had a question.
You could ask Alex his first.
Go ahead, Alex. So what about you in terms of memorization and really fucking like, oh my God, this is going to be, how the fuck am I going to get through this?
It was more of a play I worked on that was very challenging. It was called The Freedmen, and it was about two art dealers and their fuck ups. They fuck up like a $1 million painting during the show. And they have a boss who's just a drunk and a pill popper. And it was a cool play, but the script was very, very long. It was an enjoyable challenge. I like challenges. I love challenges. That's why,
I will tell you that I remember we cast Alex in something. We did a web series a while back called The Best Web Series Ever. Hashtag best web series.
I know where this is going.
Yeah. And Chris and Alex were best friends in the project.
And in real life.
And we had to, and Alex, we wrote a scene for Alex to, they were just two guys going playing a little basketball. And boy, was that a fucking struggle.
Okay. That was the most challenging role I've ever had in my life because I can't fucking play basketball. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So this play and this.
Poor Alex.
Yeah. I'm just busting.
Poor Abby.
No Oscar, too. No Oscar.
That's okay. And maybe for Chris, I remember giving you. When we were doing OMG for Pete's Sake, I remember you came in maybe a couple of days before we sent you a script, and it was just so purposely wordy. And you were like, wow, all right, wow, fuck, wow, all right, no, I got it. anyway, what was your question?
All right, I want to know from everyone. This is a roundtable discussion. What do you guys watch, and females, what do you watch to get re-inspired to act?
Oh, that's
like, a who good, do you watch?
Great. What
do you
watch? What a great, I didn't know where you were going to go with that. Good question. Since Amy seems confused by it, we'll go to the safe zone and go to Jillian.
Am I safe again?
Yeah.
Cool.
You're always safe, Jillian. I don't know.
I don't know if this is good or bad. Yeah, I don't, I mean, I never feel like, oh, I hate acting. I need to be re-inspired. But I like watching things that are close to what I want to make. So like, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is similar to what I'm writing, since it's a musical series. So shows like that, or shows that are like dramedy, like not just one genre.
Right.
A little bit of, 'cause that's like what I want to do, right? And what I like.
No, in terms of writing, I would say you're saying that you, or if you're doing a project that is similar to a role that you're taking on, you might watch a little bit of that same genre. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Although I have to say, I've never consciously thought that, like, oh, I need to watch more of this. I don't know. So I just watch like what I feel like watching, but I always am thinking like with the actor brain. So I don't think it matters. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How about you, Amy? I'll go to you now, since you seemed a little more clear on the question.
I just finished my wine. That was all that I was thinking. No, I watch a lot of different things on TV. Like I was obsessed with Tiger King.
Nice.
Never heard of it.
What?
But hold up. Just to refocus the question. It's for inspiration on
Yeah. Hey, Pete, don't judge. I'm just being very inspirational.
No. I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying to maybe, I think he was talking about actors or projects or things of that nature. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that maybe this Tiger King is something that you definitely are inspired by. I don't know.
Tiger King? Have you not seen it? It's going to get turned into a movie. It's that fucking good.
Show, right? Isn't it like
a I've not seen it. I have not seen it, and I have no interest in seeing it, and I don't like it being talked about on my show. I'm just kidding.
We're gonna talk about for a second, because reality is no longer real reality.
That's fair enough. I agree with that. I agree with that comment. Yeah.
Even documentaries, like, it's all like you film a bunch of stuff and then you put it on TV, like you chop it up and you put the bits that are gonna be the most exciting and the most like, you know, it's not real reality anymore. Nothing is real.
Hey, I watched The Bachelor. I understand. But
did you see Love is Blind?
I did.
Let's get back to the topic.
All right, Pete, how about this? I got it, Pete. I'd say starting out when I was a kid, The Godfather 1.
Okay.
For me, 100%. Watching Michael Corleone's like arc in that movie is awesome. When they just pan into him and he says he'll kill everybody is one of the best scenes of all time. And modern right now, as an adult, it's Horace and Pete.
Okay.
It's a very good show. I don't know if anybody's...
I've heard of that.
I gave Rockwell a flash drive on it to watch, but he lost
it. It's illegal. That we can't promote that. That's illegal.
I mean, I didn't do that, but if I did, I'd be a good friend, and Rockwell lost it, he'd be a bad friend.
Nick, what about you?
Well, I guess... I don't know if everybody, it's not quite inspiring, but just every show I watch, I just try, I'm like a sponge, you know, I try and learn, you know, and I look and see things and I try and pick movies that are, I guess I'm being somewhat typecasted as a gangster. So I do see a lot of, in all the gangster movies, to take a look at all the characters and how they act and that type of thing. But
sure. You
guys, I'm sure seen The Green Book.
I haven't seen that yet. No, but I'm sure some of these other people have. Yes. No.
Wow.
Jillian, it's have
tremendous.
You seen
that? The Green Book. Anybody? The Green Book.
Yeah. Alex, fantastic.
Alex nodded.
Oh, I'm tremendous. Just nodding because I know of it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's a tremendous movie. Yeah, and shit. The Driver. Every time I see it, which is now probably like 15 times, I look at my wife every time and go, that's me. Like, I wish I had that role. Like, I love that role. That's me. Yeah. And I keep, so when you see it, The Driver, but that's.
Okay. Just,
I don't know what he does. And
Little Fires Everywhere. Did anybody watch that?
Oh, I haven't.
What's that?
little fires everywhere.
I have not
Kerry Washington. It's Reese Witherspoon, and Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington produced it. It's so good. It's based off the book.
Have to give that a look. Alan.
Nicolas Cage is just a guilty pleasure.
Okay. I love Nicolas Cage movies, by the way. My favorite Nicolas Cage movie is The Family Man.
That is a great film. Great film. Yeah,
yeah, man. I think you're right. That's underrated.
There's there's some movies in his past that he's done where he's doing great work, and now he's crazy. But I mean,
all right. So Alex's Nicolas Cage. And I'm just
kidding. No. In terms of the actors that inspire me that I'll watch over and over, now they're not like Nick. Nick will watch someone, you know, and be inspired by someone who's like him. I'll watch a mix of both. You know, like I'll watch Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman. I'll watch Steve Buscemi. They're me. And then I'll watch Tom Hardy, Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, and There Will Be Blood. I'll watch, you know, DiCaprio, and I'll watch all of them and just take what they're doing that's like fantastic and their work. And I'll, you know, just when you see it, you're like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do it the way he's doing it. And you start learning little things here and there you get from all of them. So those are the actors I'll look at. And there's more. There's Sam Rockwell. He's chameleon, you know, he does everything, and that's something that I want to do. And then the movies I'll watch over and over to be inspired would be Dumb and Dumber. I'll watch over and over. I'll watch it because there's a lot of great acting in it, even though it's stupid. It's fantastic, you know. I'll watch you know, There Will Be Blood, I mentioned. I'll watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Love that.
Over and over.
Yeah.
The Office, I'll watch over and over.
I'm going to go with Jillian's answer to a degree. I feel like, you know, obviously I write a lot of my own stuff too. So I guess Jillian and I probably both do that, right? We're writing a lot of characters and whatnot. So, so I think sometimes I write a character and I'll say, like, for example, in The Boys Will Be, I'll write a character and say, okay, I think he's sort of this person. So then I'll start watching a lot of that person for that particular movie. I watched a lot of Beverly Hills 90210 and watched Luke Perry for my character that was Jack in that try to get his sort of mannerisms and whatnot. But by the same token, I've tried to bring a little bit something different to it too. This was Chris's question, so I answered it. But I think your answer though, Jillian, is somewhat right that each character brings something different out of it, right? So if you read something, you're like, okay, this feels very, you're trying to always find the voice of the character. So sometimes you'll watch stuff that is, you know, of the like-minded characters as you're starting to put the pieces together. And then you'll just kind of find it, you know what I mean? Based on a lot of things. Okay, Chris, now do you have an answer to that question though, before you ask your next question?
Yeah, I do, but I wasn't asking to.
No, I would like. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I like Leslie Nielsen a lot. So everything he does is fantastic. Oh, the guy from Naked Gun.
Yes.
Also, Jerry Lewis.
He was a good series actor back in the day.
He was. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. We appreciate that. I've been watching recently the Dick. I think his name's Dick Cavett or Dick Cavett.
Yeah, Dick Cavett.
He's been watching the Dick Cavett show, and I don't know why that's been giving me inspiration. He interviews some real, real cool rock stars. I have another question.
Well, the John Lennon interview is incredible. John Lennon on Dick Cavett. Yes. Everyone's got a YouTube that. That's fucking amazing. Yeah.
Okay, I got another round of questions.
Oh boy.
So what was it for you guys that made you say, "Hey, I wanted to jump into the acting world"?
I love this question. Fuck. No. I was not prepared with any questions. All right, let's go to Alex.
What made me jump in?
No, Alex, I don't want you to answer it.
Oh. thank you. It's really hard for me to pinpoint actually when and where, because like I always like doing it. So it's just, it's, I don't know. It's tough. My mom got me into it. She didn't like the fact that I was home and alone all the time and very not, I was antisocial.
So you're saying Macaulay Culkin?
Like in the bathroom, like with the door shut for a long time?
Well, just spend a lot of time at home, you know, Amy, you know, like doing Legos and stuff like that. And my mom put me into, when I was 13, she put me into the Brooklyn Conservatory of Music. And I, like, they just made me do things that I was afraid to do. And then I just fell in love with it there.
Whoa.
Yeah, they touched me in a way that I've never been touched before.
Michael Jackson here. It's funny when you guys, when you asked that question, who were the influences, I was going to go, I would say, like, I was going to name everybody that was just accused of something.
Anyway, well, now that we're coming out, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, on
coming out? No.
Definitely.
Oh, man, I'm so happy for you, man. I'm so happy for Alex. Good job, Alex.
Not in that way.
Oh, my God.
On the set of Peter's last film, The Boys Will Be, when we shot that together, Chris actually, he did something that was inappropriate.
What did you do? Oh my God! Come on, you're gonna do this live? What?
He told me that I'm really great and I'm a nice guy, and you know, I didn't like that.
So. Oh,
that's just true.
All right, but to that question, I'm gonna ask that question now that Chris asked about when did you decide to do this, to Nick Ferraro. I know you got a good answer on this.
Tell you.
Actually, it was early on, man. Two shows and two characters. It was The Honeymooners and Jackie Gleason.
Nice.
And the Carol Burnett Show.
Oh,
Tim Conway. He, more so than anyone, he...
I will give
Gleason, I don't know.
It I will just, give Gleason a run.
Because of his improv and the way he just made shit up on the show, which is like sort of unheard of at the time, you know, with live TV there. I mean, not live TV, but just what he did and how he made everybody crack up because he would say shit that wasn't in the script.
Yeah.
And it just touched me in a way, man. I was like, man, that's so cool. You know, like the way he did it. And I'll tell you what, when he passed, man, I was hurt. Yeah. It really affected me when he passed away. Because I always wanted to one day meet him, tell him that, you know, that he really inspired me to be an actor.
I will also agree with Jackie Gleason in terms of, I think, of the character Uncle Jerry, but back to Julian's answer that I always look for somebody to be the inspiration. I would say Gleason was a little bit of an influence on the Uncle Jerry character. But what about the other question that Chris asked? When did you know that you wanted to do this?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Second grade when my teacher picked me to play Joseph in the Christmas Christmas play, man. And I just dug it. And then from that moment on, I just, yeah. From
That's
that
moment awesome. On, That's so cool.
That's so cute.
I guess mine was high school, something similar in high school. Someone told me to go out for the play. Jen Posley, I don't know, but she's watching. She said you should really go out for it. And I went out for it, and then I got a really great part, and I really loved it. And I went and did all the stuff and wanted to just be a part of that world. Amy, how about you?
I actually didn't think about acting until I came back from doing a show. I started off musical theater. And I was a dancer, and I came back from doing a show out of town, and I was looking for a Broadway agent to get auditions for Broadway shows. And I wound up with a commercial agent, and I went out for TV shows, and I went out for a bunch of commercials, and I started booking stuff, and I was like, wow, this is kind of fun. I was like, I don't have to be in the chorus, like, and they let me talk on camera. This is amazing. And then that's when I kind of fell in love with it. And then I was like, shit, I better like go to acting school before people figure out that I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
And
yeah,
I kind of fell in love with it ever since that.
How about you, Jillian?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really remember a time when I was just always like, oh, I'm going to be an actor, like, since I was born, I think. I remember I made, like, business cards when I was 11. It was really big, though, singer / actor. Like, I think it was, like, as a kid, like, to get, like, not to get too deep, but to get away from any trauma in my childhood, it was another world I could go to, whether I was singing or, like, in my room acting. So it was just, like, my comfort zone, so it was just always what I was gonna do, and it was just, yeah, it just never changed.
I think we probably all could speak to that a little bit. What about you, Vin?
My mom put me in acting when I was like a second grade, because I would get into a lot of trouble, and I'd always kind of like BS my way out of it. And one teacher said you should put him in acting class because he's always kind of, you know, like, I'd find somebody and I'd be the person they want me to be so I don't have to be in trouble. And my first play I was in was Hook. And I had one line. And the line was, I could have shot him. Now, I come from a big Italian family. You know, there was a million people at the house all day long. So all you got to hear is you're going to be in a play. And they said, what's your line? I say, well, my line is, I could have shot him. And the first thing they say is, nah. There is no small parts, only small actors. You should say, I should have shot him when I had the chance. Hook, you're always holding me back. And it went on for months. So by the time it got to me up there, now it's like, here comes my line. And I go, I should have shot him when I had the chance. And it was... And it's just, you know, you make people happy, and it's fun that way.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Chris, you asked that question. Do you have an answer to that question? When did you know you wanted to do this?
Okay. So, two things real quick. When I was in fourth grade, Nickelodeon came to my school and interviewed a bunch of the students for, like, the Nick Choice Awards. And the final commercial wound up using me. So I got to see myself on television at a young age. And so I think
that's so arrogant.
They asked me, like, who's your favorite singer? And I said, Coolio. And they're like, why? And I was like, because he's cool. And that's what they used. That's what they used. And I got to see it on TV, and everyone got excited about it. My mom never saw it. And the second thing was, it comes from a David Bowie song. Is from Starman, where he says, fluid from a faucet may never sink. And I always thought that was like equivalent to acting, you know, like you could be there, you could be present. And if nobody sees you, are you even there? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
That is very profound.
Very profound. Very, very, very profound. Okay.
That's like he just like dropped the mic and walked away.
Sorry, I had to say,
see ya, I'm out.
He's actually brilliant. Yeah, very brilliant. You got any more? You got any more fun actor questions that you want to ask the group?
I know.
What's everyone's favorite genre of movie or television, and what is the one that stands out to you in that genre?
Oh, cool. That's a great question. Let's go to Jillian.
Jillian.
That's a safe one.
Yeah.
I mean, I sort of already talked about this, that I love dramedy, where it can make me laugh and cry in the same episode. So there are a lot of great but Parenthood is probably my favorite series in that genre. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Amy.
Gosh. I watch a lot of different things. I basically watch everything. So I watch everything from like comedies to drama to reality. I got a lot of time to kill now. So I literally watch everything. I watch a lot of British TV shows too. It's really bizarre, but.
That's cool.
You know.
Nick?
Yeah, I definitely have to say dramedy as well. You know, I love just a real great movie, serious movie, great acting. And then throughout it, you know, there's those funny moments, you yeah. know? That's what I really like.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry. I would also agree with dramedy. I hate to, I mean, obviously I love some, I love comedies, obviously, on their own, right? But I do gravitate to a lot more. I mean, I think we probably all do, right? To dramas, you know, like just in general. And when we learn the most or grow the most as actors, it's never, I mean, sure, there's some comedies where you're like, oh, that was really funny. I'd love to do something like that. But for the most part, I think where we probably all grow is from some powerful performance. Like I thought Adam Driver in Marriage Story was fucking amazing. And back to Krista's question, I would say Adam Driver should be an influence on all, on actors and whatnot.
Who's that now? Who's Adam Driver?
Marriage Story, yeah.
And Star Wars, he was the
Kylo Ren.
And the one before that with the chick that always gets naked that no one
wants to see.
Girl. Yes, girl. Thank you. Yeah.
And for you, Alex, on that question that Chris had asked.
That's what it was.
I love, like you said, Peter, I hate to repeat myself too, but dramedy is great, but I love drama, like, yeah. like heavy, dark, like everything, like Breaking Bad, you know, Breaking Bad type drama. I don't know what else, I can't think of anything right now, but, Chris, I know Chris is watching Kidding.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
It's funny, but it's very dark, very also depressing, but it's a mix of a lot of things. And I like that mix because, you know, life is like that. It's a mix of, oh, this is really funny and this is fucked up. Like we're making, you know, we make jokes of whatever's going on yesterday and, you know, and then, but then at the same time, it's like, oh, this is dark. And I don't know. I really like that mix. I'm also watching, I really like that show. Well, the season didn't come out yet, the new one, but Peaky Blinders.
Oh my God.
Very good.
I'm trying to hold on.
You and Amy should watch TV together. You guys would be, you
we should review shows, but that's a great show. Cause Tom Hardy is in there and, yes. and he plays the Jewish mobster Alfie, and he's fantastic. And everyone's great in it. Everyone's great in that. Not one bad actor in that show.
All right, so I'm going to, there's a couple comments made here. I'm just going to read these and then we're going to get to Vin's answer on that question. Somebody says, Hilary Russo, hi. Tucci and Totoro are two of the best actors. They morph like no one.
Yeah. Totoro, especially.
Definitely. So that was a statement made. And Vin, your answer on that? And if you have questions for any of our
actors, same one.
Sorry, no, if you have any questions for any of our actors, feel free to send that through here on Facebook Live. But go ahead, Vin. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you.
It's funny because like people say dramedy, but like I'm definitely like, you know, I like watching a good movie where it makes you think, it makes you feel.
Sure.
But and a lot of times there's funny things that happen situationally that may not, we weren't supposed to be funny, but it is. So like, I don't know, to me, like I find humor in a lot of stuff. So everything's pretty much a dramedy. And I said it before, I'll say it again, just The Godfather's probably my, it's just, so there's so many perfect things in that movie. Just, that's it.
Now I have a question. Does everybody here, I mean, Vin, I know you've written some stuff, and Nick, you've written some stuff. Amy, have you written anything? No,
that's
okay. It's not a requirement. But
I had the idea that I gave to you with my you know, hosting.
Yes, I do remember that, and we're going to do that. That's going to be great. Okay, but for the writers here, when you're writing, and I'll go to Jillian first. When you're writing, are you visualizing? Are you visualizing the actor playing the character? Or are you visualizing what this character, your imagination of what the character is? And then I'll ask Nick and Vin and the same question. And even from an acting perspective, I think it's a good question. do you always kind of look at the other actors without knowing what they look like, or do you have a vision of that in your head? So I'll start with Jillian from a writing perspective.
I mean, it depends, because I've written for theater where you just write and then you cast later. So like, I'm not writing for someone, but like when I write film, I'm writing it for me, like the main character is like my voice. I don't, like the other characters, I don't cast first, but I do have like a sense of what kind of actor I want. I think it just depends like what I'm writing. And I also, like, I feel like when I'm writing, I'm also like, I want this to happen. So like, where is it set? How can I feasibly do this? Like I want it to be what I want, but I also want to be realistic and ahead of the game whenever it's done. Because I don't just want this thing written and never
it, yeah, know. That makes sense. How about you, for you, Nick? Do you think of the actor that's going to play that character?
When I write, there's a lot of visualization. When I write, I see it as I'm writing, and sometimes I almost like close my eyes and I see it developed, and then I'll write down some stuff. Some of the characters. Like my recent script, I'll think of an actor, and then I'm actually writing it based on that actor and how they perform and things that maybe they would say and things like that.
Yeah. How about you, Vin?
I try to figure out what I would do in that situation and then see how close it is to what that character would do. And if it's too far apart, then I try to think of somebody I know who was like that character and figure out how they would feel in that kind of same situation, how they would react. Is that the question you asked?
No, that was a question, but I know that was the end of the end of the statement.
No, I was like, am I answering the right question?
And Alex, how about for Nicolas you Cage, when you get Nicolas a script? Cage. When you get a script, are you visualizing who you think, without knowing who the other actors are you visualizing it, or what are you doing with that?
Yeah, it's kind of the same as when I write, like Nick said, and I visualize what these characters are going to look like, unless you told me who's playing who. Like, you know, I know Chris Rockwell was playing Joe, so I would visualize him when I was in you know, in my head and working on it. I visualize what these characters might look like. I have my own image of them. And of course you show up to set and they're all different actors that you don't see in the same way, but it helps. It helps just, it's the, with the writing that you were mentioning, it's I visualize the, not what they look like, just what the character is, what's written, who are they, what are they doing, what do they want, what's their essence, what are they trying to get in the worldly, like universally, what do they want, and then what do they want in what do they want in the scene itself. So I see like what they are, and when I read my own role, I also kind of see myself, but not, I kind of see someone, it's weird, I see someone else as my character. What am I going to be, who am I going to be?
Interesting. That's very interesting. How about you, Amy?
How do I do it? I go Esper.
I mean, only two people.
Witches.
My technique, you know, same so, as you.
Tell us how that works, Amy.
What's the scene about? How does my character feel? What's it like to me? I mean, a lot of the things, especially the stuff you write for me, is very much, you know, me. So it's not really like.
I find I write. I mean, I wrote. I'm pointing at you, Jillian. I wrote Abby for you, but I gave you the option of which character that you wanted to play.
But you didn't tell me which part you wrote for me. You were like, read it and tell me
which character you wanted to play. But I wanted you to play Abby, so that I was so happy when you.
And like, you told me that. Yeah.
So I mean, and then as far as Nick, I always write for you. Like, I might not even write, I'm writing a thing and I'm like, oh, this is like a Nick thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'll start immediately visualizing Nick. And obviously, Chris, I write for you all the time. And now that I started working with Vin, I mean, like, I didn't know what to really expect from you, because I didn't, you know, I know that you had done some the Richard Klein shit, so I didn't know if it was just, like, you know, sitcom-y kind of shit. But then when you started acting and whatnot, and we put you on the page and whatnot, we started seeing it, I was like, you know, you're great. So I wanted to write more meatier stuff for you guys. And like Alex, you know, same thing for both you and Amy, you know, like I visualize you guys as I'm sort of writing those things. I'm always seeming to have something for Amy, for sure.
I love it. I love that you do that.
I'm always the mistress and the fun, like the...
I don't know.
You play it really well. It doesn't mean you are.
No. Put your hand down.
I don't know. It's just
bartender.
Just what? Yeah. Well, I think you know what I think about that. I will give you an actual answer to that question. I think you're comfortable playing anything. You know, you don't have very many limitations to what might be thrown in front of you. So I think that I know. I'm like, I can throw Amy in this, and she's gonna just rock it out. All right, Chris, you got another question? What do you got?
I do.
Sit down, yeah.
Has anyone here done a casting call that has gone terribly wrong?
Good question. Wow, I mean, would you get this from a box of questions for actors?
Yeah, right?
Amy, I feel like you'll have an answer for that.
I missed the question. One more time.
Have you ever done a casting call that went completely wrong?
Oh, I got a good one. Oh my God. So years ago, I went to this casting and it was for a mixer, like one of those mixers, like a brand. I can't remember. It was like Black & Decker or something. Mm-hmm. And we go into the casting room and it's me and this guy. And it was in one of these old offices that doesn't even exist anymore. And the casting director, you know, it was for a national commercial. And she goes, hey, how was your weekend? What did you guys do? And I was like, hey, you know, I walked my dog. We went to the park, blah, blah, blah. This guy goes, I masturbated.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That took a
turn. And I'm just sitting there going,
Wow.
It, like, sucked all the air out of the room, and I was just like...
Wait, was this the guy who was auditioning with you, or he was the one
auditioning
you?
With me.
Wow.
The one was like, hey, what'd you do all weekend? He's like, I masturbated. I was like...
Wow.
That would be the first thing I say when I walked in and be like, I don't know, I'm sorry, guys. That guy out there just told me he masturbated all weekend. Yeah. I don't know, my head's not really in it.
That's really crazy. That's crazy.
He did it when we were in the room before we even, like, slated. I was like...
Wow.
I'm like, I'm going to need a new person. I'm like, what the fuck do I do with that?
So like, you were...
Wait, you
were doing that Corona deal then, even back then.
And it's something, it's hilarious because it literally was like a pin drop in the room, and it's something I've never forgotten ever since. I was just like,
wow. All right.
I was like, what the?
Yeah, extreme. Jillian, what about you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I've been to like some weird casting calls. But like the most recent one I had, it was kind of weird. It was for a commercial and it was all improvised, which I'm like, great, it's my jam. And I go in with this girl who was like very afraid of improvisation. Anyway, it went fine. Like I just kept making stuff up and she was just like very like, where do I go? What do I say? What do I do? So
get the fuck out of the room. Yeah.
It's like those are fun auditions to just like make stuff up with other improvisers, but he was not one. But it wasn't like a disaster, but for her, maybe.
It's like when you go in for like a mom role and you get a kid that's a dud, and you're just like,
right, it's that when you're like, yeah, we're caring to someone who,
Or like the baby won't stop crying. You're like,
it is interesting though about what Jillian just said about improv and people that don't like, because for me, I think I roll with improv. I think you need some of that sort of in the mix of it, so it feels authentic, you know? So it's always weird to me when somebody doesn't know how to improv, you know?
Yeah, I haven't met someone quite so scared of it in a long time. And I'm not sure why she was there, because it was a cast, like, it was an improvised, the whole thing.
You knew what it was. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise.
Right.
But, yeah.
I feel like it's a lot of new actors, and, like, people that haven't been doing it a while. They're, like, so, yeah. Like.
There's also sort of a, there's also, I don't know if you'll agree with this, Jillian, but there's also sort of a over-improviser.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I got a friend like that. You, whenever you're like improvising, you can't get a word in edgewise because he literally like takes over the whole thing.
That's not a good improviser.
But that's, I mean, right, exactly. Or I feel like they're not actually feeling the scene of what we're trying to accomplish here. You know what I mean? I feel like it becomes.
Well, I mean, you have to listen. You have to listen and yes, and you can't yes, and not.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Alex, what is your take on that?
Which question are we on here?
The improv question.
How high are you right now?
Either the improv question or the either the improv question or the other question. The original
casting call question.
Casting calls. I have for both. Improv question. I feel like every actor should have some sense of improv.
I think you're very good at improv, by the way. I'm gonna say that.
Thank you.
You're very good at that. Yeah.
You're so sweet.
Well, you only get one of these a night, so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well. casting call. This one really bummed me out. I just remembered it when you guys were talking about it. Verizon commercial. The pay was supposed to be $40,000. For a one-day shoot, and I was like $40,000. I was like, I've never gotten paid that much for a one, any project. And I was like, awesome. And I memorized it at home, and I came in and I memorized it again, and I was like ready. And they threw me off completely because they're like, we want you to walk here, step here, say the line, walk here, step here, say the next line, walk back, say this line. And I fucked it all up really bad. I was just like, oh, it's only $49.99, and every word just didn't come out. And then I like, they're like, no, you have to step and say the line. I like step the wrong way and back, and I was like, they're like, okay, thank you so much. And I was like, fuck.
Sucked.
Nick, how about you on that?
Well, one came to mind was actually last year, beginning of last year, I went and auditioned for an infomercial for a male enhancement drug. when I was practicing or whatever, it was, I was standing up doing it. But when I got there, they wanted me to sit in this like ridiculous chair that looked like a velvet type of a chair and do it. And first off, I'm Italian to begin with, so I'm like moving, trying to improvise the way I was standing up. And he's like, put your hands down. I'm trying to talk about, how lousy I was in bed and this and that until I took the super pill and I was like, this and that. And
stiffening up as a pun or?
What's that?
You said you were stiffening up and I was like, wait, what?
And then she figures why she gets cast as this typecaster.
I didn't say it. I just heard it.
So I did get the part actually, and I never told a soul where it was going to be played because it was ridiculous.
Well, now we need to see it.
No one has ever seen it, man. No one. I'm not kidding.
Wait, was it for the Red Pill one?
I said, how can you do an infomercial if you don't even try the product? I said, you have the product. They're like, no, we can't give you any. I'm like, all right.
Vin, what about you?
Yeah, one time I was at this audition, and this girl, she asked me what I did over the weekend, and I told her, and she got all freaked out about it. I don't know.
Full circle.
You totally missed that one, Chris. That was probably the best joke of the whole night. Missed it.
Yeah, all right.
I don't get it.
Oh, God.
We watched
this. Watch it back.
What about the improv? Yeah, I mean, I think what Richard Klein always taught us, acting is what? Reacting.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And one of the best things he ever did was sit me down in front of somebody, which I wasn't really comfortable with, like in a room with. It would just, you know, some people work and then some people don't. It just wasn't my type of person. And like, we had to sit there and do that exercise where you say the thing and you repeat it back and forth.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called.
Jillian said
that really blew my mind, how like we could be saying the same stupid stuff and feeling different things and feeding off each other. I think that's more improv than anything else.
Yeah.
It's like all acting is essentially improv. You're bouncing it off of the person you're working with.
That's really great. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I agree with that. I'm going to give you all quick. We're going to wrap this up in a few here, but I want to give you all a chance to shout somebody out mentor wise that really helped you along your way in your path of being an actor in some special way. So Alex, since you look the most ridiculous and this is a nice gratitude thing, I figured I'd go to you.
Say your name.
Please, you don't have to say my, I don't, you know, whatever. Yeah,
well, actually, you know, now that we're here, it's true.
Please don't do that. Please, no, don't do
no
that.
No, I have to, Peter. I am yeah. You don't understand. I text you all the time after a shoot, but I am so grateful for every role that you let me play in what you've written. And the experience I've gotten on every single thing that you've cast me in was tremendous.
Thank you.
So much fun, always funny, always something deeper than just what it, you know, on the surface. And I got a lot of experience from everything you've. I just want to do more with you, man.
Yeah, same, but we will. Thank you, and thank you for that. You didn't have to say me. It's not required. Please. You
know. I know. I had to.
I appreciate it, though. Okay, yeah. Amy, go ahead, and don't say me.
Oh, my God, I'm not going to say you.
Thank God. Yeah.
No. Okay. You know, actually, so because I do a lot of commercials, I took one class with this guy who's a casting director. His name's Ken Laser. And I don't know if anybody knows him, but he actually taught me so many like of the little intricacies that you don't think about when you audition for commercials. And ever since I took a couple of his classes, I book things like nonstop. So he's definitely somebody that I hold in very high regard, as well as you, because you always put me in the first. And you know, you let me do whatever I want when I'm on set.
Yeah. Yes. Jillian, how about you?
I don't feel like I had like one mentor, but I think in thinking about questions, I think mostly like when I moved to New York and when I like took comedy classes and all the comedy stuff I've done, like the women who have been like teachers or like seeing other women, because there's so many dudes in comedy and you're usually like one of, you know, it's just of women. So I feel like those teachers that I'm thinking of were an inspiration. But I do want to say also, thank you for putting me in this film, because I didn't know you. Like, you didn't know me. And I feel like that's great. And that's
a bunch of appreciation. You did not have to say that, but thank you. But I mean,
like, no, but like, I was thinking that before, like, you guys all like know each other. Or knew each other. I know you now.
Totally. Well, I don't remember even how I found you. Maybe I'm backstage or something like that.
But. Yeah, I looked, because someone asked me, and I was like, I don't remember. So I looked in my messages, and it was backstage.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but I was like, I was looking for something else, and whatever. Okay, Nick, how about you?
I get pretty choked up, actually. But Pete.
Oh, God damn it.
You, man. I'm
no, thank you. Ridiculous. Thank God.
Tell the story of how you found me.
I found Amy on a car commercial. And I was casting something, and I just knew that she was perfect for it. And I said, I have to find her. So I stalked her. And then I called the company that did the car commercial, and they would not give me her info. And then Clark was like, let me help find it. And he just like Googled. I don't know what the fuck he Googled, but you popped right up. And I was like, oh, fuck, what the fuck? No, that is her. Yeah, that's her. That's her. Anyway, Nick, in all sincerity, who do you got?
I mean, there's a lot of people, really, that helped me and influenced, you know, one, my college acting professor. He's the one that really had a lot of faith in me. And I kept telling me, you got to go to New York. You got to go to New York and this and everything. But there's just a lot of people. I mean, every project I'm involved in, there's definitely people there that I respect and look up to. I try and learn from everyone. And I don't know, like I said earlier, man, I'm just a sponge, you know. I look at everybody. And even in regular life, you know, like in the supermarket, I walk around, I look at people, and I go, what an interesting character. I look at what they do and, you know, things like that. So
that's great.
But it's you, though.
Vin, how about you?
Well, definitely you, Pete.
Okay. But
first and foremost is Christopher Rockwell.
Nice. Good answer.
He was just ultimately just a real friend about the whole deal. I'm like, hey, man, I got to do this. I just want to do this so bad. I just don't know how to start or where to start. He sent me the links of the Richard Klein class. He said, do this. And then he said, hey, man, if ever I'm in something, I'm going to try to get you in there, and I promise. And he held true to his word, and he introduced me to you.
Sure.
And I think now, Pete, me and you are friends. I mean, I think we hit it off tremendously, but maybe it wasn't for Chris introducing us or him. You know, some people are like, hey, that guy, he might be okay, but fuck him. I want nothing to do with him. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very, there's only one part for one person, right?
Yeah, I agree.
But Chris was not like that at all. He was very, 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 very helpful. Like, stupid questions you ask when you don't know anything, you don't know anything.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a stupid question, right, Chris?
That's right. And then he got handsy with me at one time, and it was really awkward. He got really, like, you know, gropey.
Yeah, that happened to me too with Chris.
It happened with you too?
These stories are
you
coming out.
You
too
what happened to?
Me too.
God, we really don't need that. Hey, Chris, how about your answer on that? And don't
wait, hold on, Pete. I didn't get to you yet.
No, I'm going to skip it. I don't even want to hear it. Chris, what is your answer to that? And don't please don't say me, but I know that you might.
Oh my God, you're going to be head.
I think mentor-wise, if I had to go outside of the people that are actually in the industry, I would have to go.
Why are you talking like that?
I don't know.
I guess I would have to go with my brothers. My brothers always found me pretty entertaining. And they always just said, hey, you're entertaining. So I would definitely thank them for being my mentors. And then there's Pete. And
thank you.
Pete's been very very aggressive and forward thinking when it comes to me acting and stuff like that. So yeah,
not why
my brothers and you as well, sir.
Yeah, I would also agree with Vin's answer about Chris. Definitely, I will shout Clark Mayer out as the person who said you should really do more film. I will even shout Katie Bro out the writing aspect. She was very strong influence. And my high school acting people, Dr. Schmiedek, I think is his name.
I would also say Jesus. Jesus was definitely a good factor.
Anyway, guys, I've been doing this gratitude thing, so that's why I let you all have an opportunity to say that. You did not have to say me, but I wanted to say.
Well, you cut me off. I tried to say you, and you cut me off, and I didn't even get to my speech about you yet.
necessary, buddy. Not necessary, but I wanted to thank all of you for participating in the Boys Club, and I'm very grateful for each and every one of you in your own way. Alex, you are always there and always entertaining. Nick, I'm so happy that we met on that show. I really enjoy just picking up and having old school phone calls with you. Vin, I'm so happy that Chris introduced us. You know, I think we've got a good future together of working on many things. Chris, obviously, I said a lot of gratitude yesterday, so you only get one a night. And one a week. Amy, thank you so much for everything, all the projects and all that stuff. I really, really appreciate it. Going to Montauk with me just at random. And Jillian, I'm super excited to work with you. I think you bring, you always bring your A game and professionalism to everything that you do, and you're very funny. I know you're a comedian. So thank you. I thank all of you guys for doing this. And this was fun. We should do it again sometime.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Later, guys.
Good night, guys.